seeking all needed help from the Lord and desiring your prayer for attention, I direct you to the psalm that we read, Psalm 89 and verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. What are we to understand by this joyful sound? I think if you have a marginal reference Bible, you'll find perhaps a reference to the trumpet that was sounded to the moving, the going forward of the 12 tribes of Israel. But the trumpet was used on various occasions, and no better occasion was it when they had their joyful assemblies. But what I want to refer to this morning is the trumpet of the glorious jubilee on the 50th year when the prisoners were set free and when man regained his liberty. What joyful news then it is to those who are waiting in expectation of some glorious event. You know, we have wonderful treasuries in the Word of God. But we have to consider that we have but a little of the events recorded that actually took place. If you take, for instance, the 40 years of the wanderings of the children of Israel through the desert, how little really is recorded of it? And yet what is recorded is for the benefit of God's people, for the benefit of God's church throughout all the ages of time. And I believe we have a clear indication of this with the number of times that the Lord Jesus Christ referred to the Old Testament, referring many things to himself and to the people of God. For instance, in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Now the Lord Jesus Christ takes this same thing up and applies it to himself. And how wonderful was the event when the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been eternally in the heavens, came down into this world. We read of the shepherds in the field watching over their sheep by night, and there is a heavenly host announcing, proclaiming the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." These shepherds heard the joyful sound, their hearts responded to it, and they went forth and found Mary with the child Jesus and worshipped him. Blessed then, or as the word may rightly be translated, happy. Happy is the people that know the joyful sound. Now, sounds have an effect upon each one of us. Good news lifts our hearts up in rejoicing, but bad news casts it down. Think of the time that the news came to old Eli as he was sitting upon the bench. News that his son had been killed, that the battle had gone against Israel. And apparently these things didn't really move him. But when the news was given that the Ark of God was taken, his heart sunk and he fell backwards off his seat and his neck was broken. So different types of news have different effects upon us. I remember reading as a boy an account of a number of families that had gone out into the West, and there was a number of savages that surrounded them and threatened their lives. And there seemed no way for them to escape. They were outforced by so many. And they prayed. They prayed that God might be pleased to give them deliverance. And then after a while, they heard the sound of a trumpet. It was the cavalry who had come unexpectedly, but had come, what an answer to prayer, that their deliverance. Now, how would they have received the sound of that trumpet? Surely it would have lifted their hearts up in great joy and thanksgiving unto God that they had a mighty deliverance. I believe then that we can see in these words a deliverance for God's people, not only in the time of David when this psalm was written, but also to God's people throughout every generation. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. It's not that they hear the joyful sound so much as they know the joyful sound. You know, you can be in a company of people, and perhaps a company of strangers, and you hear many voices speaking one to another. And then suddenly someone calls you by name. You recognize the voice. You respond immediately to that voice. Why? Because you know it. You know that voice, it's familiar to you. And therefore, there is that immediate response, they say, in your heart toward it. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ says to his people, "My sheep hear my voice." They know the voice of the Lord Jesus. It is familiar to them. I've often thought of that account when the sheep were being watered and the various flocks all came together. And then the shepherd would call his sheep, and the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. They responded and they followed after him. Now we have a number of accounts in the Word of God of those that heard the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord speaking directly unto them. Think of Samuel. Samuel was a young boy, had not heard the voice of the Lord. And as he and Eli were the only ones there, he considered it must have been the old man. And so he ran to him and said, "You called me." And Eli says, "I did not call you. Go back and sleep." And the voice came again and again. Samuel thought it must have been Eli. There was no one else there. Everything was silent. But his name was called Samuel, Samuel. And so he responded again to the call. But when Eli realized that Samuel was being spoken to by the Lord, he told him to go and lay down. And if the voice come again, to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord came again and spake to Samuel. And he heard the voice of the Lord. Ever after, in Samuel's long life, he knew the voice of God. God spake personally and directly unto him. Now, we by nature know the sounds of many things. And it's a wonderful gift if the Lord has given us an ability to hear those sounds around us. What a blessing that we should not take for granted. But the sounds of this world give a discordant note. You know, I'm particularly fond of music, and when your organist plays, I can pick out the different parts that she's playing. And it seems wonderful to hear the four parts, as it were, coming together in sweet harmony. And there it makes a pleasant sound. But the canter of this world, I say, is a discordant note if and when we come to appreciate what the sound of real music is. You know, a person that is tone deaf has no appreciation of what music really is. And so they cannot value all the different parts coming together. Now, the context we have here is one of freedom, one of deliverance. And it is a deliverance from this world of sin and sorrow. But to the world, the gospel makes no particular sound. It's not a joyful sound in the ears of the men and women of this world. And doubtless, it was not a joyful sound in our ears in our former days. So we have to ask the question, has it become a joyful sound to us? Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. How can we know this sound? Week by week, and probably with most of you throughout your lives, you've heard the preached word. You've been able to appreciate the accounts that are being given. Many of the stories, historic stories in the Word of God are familiar to you. You know them in as much as you have an understanding in your head of what they mean. And perhaps further to this, you've come to understand and appreciate the doctrines of the Word of God. And you can see that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save his people. You understand why he had to die upon the accursed tree. You know and you believe in your head that Christ rose. You have no doubts upon that. On the third day, according to the scriptures. And you understand that there is a God in heaven, that Christ is upon the throne of God, and that he will live forever and ever. You understand that one day, through age or sickness, you must die, and that your soul will continue to live. Well, we can understand many things academically. We can hear the message which is being set forth, and we may agree or disagree with the message that is spoken. But it is only when the Word of God is received personally, secretly, into our hearts that we properly value it. It is then that we can say we know the joyful sound. Think of Elijah. Remember how Elijah went up upon the mount and was waiting for the Lord to speak to him. But the Lord did not speak to him in the earthquake. The Lord did not speak to him in the fire. The Lord did not speak to him in the wind. Now, many people expect some dramatic happening and that their whole world will be turned upside down and everything will be changed. But where did Elijah hear the voice of the Lord? A voice that he not only recognized, a voice that he knew. He heard it in the still, small voice. And immediately, he wraps his mantle around him. He recognizes it is the Lord. What a mercy then, when the word of the Lord comes expressly unto us. And consider the wonderful privilege. And it truly is a tremendous privilege that this great God of heaven, who has been and ever will be from eternity to eternity, the creator and the ruler of the universe, by him were all things made that were made, and without him was there nothing made. This great God, whom the angels bow down and worship and adore, that he should so condescend to come down to us. You know, we have one or two accounts in the Word of God of very close relationships. Think of David and Jonathan, that their love was greater than that of men and women. Think of the union that was made between Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. And we have many relationships upon this life. The husband and wife is in intimate relationship. The children with their parents. Friends, best of friends. what are these compared with the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ toward his people? Not only was he willing to die that they might live, but he lives that they might have life more abundantly. And he comes and communicates himself. You know, in the preaching of the gospel, and it's something in this world that is really unique. We have college lecturers who prepare their study, and many fine orators in the world even today. But there's nothing like the preaching of the gospel, because God chooses ignorant man, he equips them, sends them forth into the ministry to proclaim his holy word. He uses them to pronounce the glorious gospel of his grace. But this gospel is not dependent upon the minister, nor is it dependent upon any man. It is the sovereign work of God. God sending his Holy Spirit to convince. If we have a conviction, it is something which is deeply known. If we are convicted of a certain event happening, then we truly believe in that event. When the Lord works in the hearts of his people, he at first convinces them, convicts them of their great sinnership. He convicts them of their enmity toward God, their hatred for his holy word. Now, this may surprise some of you, that there may lie within your breast a hatred to God and his holy word. For effectively, many would have to say, we have no God and we have no hope. God is not in all our thoughts. He is a God that is afar off, not a God that is nigh. But in the fullness of time, it pleases God to reveal himself. Now, man by nature is under the bondage of Satan, and he's unable to extricate himself from that bondage. He is in enemy's hands, and he cannot get free. He's in prison, he's shut up, he's in darkness, until the Lord appears and shows him the way of salvation. And that way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ as a new and living way. Blessed or happy are the people that know the joyful sound. I believe I speak to some here this morning that have heard the gospel's joyful sound, that the Lord has spoken personally, individually unto them. They have realized it is the Lord. And the word has come into their hearts with such power that it has convinced them that it is the word of God and not of man. You see, all the preacher can do is set forth the word of God. But if it pleases the Lord to bless that word, It is his home word that he blesses to the hearts of his dear people. And it is the sound of deliverance that the prisoner is set free. He's brought into gospel liberty. He knows the truth, and the truth has set him free, and he is free indeed. And now his whole life has changed. He is a different character. He is a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. We hear the gospel preached, but it's only when the Spirit of God applies the word with power that we really know the gospel. We know the good news that Christ died for me. There are many still in the world today that would affirm that Christ Jesus died for sinners. And I suppose today it is a wonderful thing when we hear a people pronounce that they believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that they have some understanding, some knowledge that they are sinners. But when there's that true, deep conviction of sin, that thou art the man, as Nathan went to David and pointed, as it were, the finger of accusation against him, thou art the man. David had lived for a number of months without the full implication of the sin that he had committed. When Nathan uttered those words to him, now the full weight of his error came upon him, and he felt himself a guilty wretch. Well, I believe that every child of God will know in some measure, and we don't all have the same experience, and we're not to compare in that sense one with another, but we are brought to see ourselves as sinners. And we see the consequences of our sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. What a miserable place. And yet, what a blessed place. To come under a full conviction, the full weight of our sins. Like Bunyan's Pilgrim, to have that burden heavy upon our backs, to feel the weight of sin upon us, that intolerable load, that load that must and will destroy us. And then to know the joyful sound of the gospel, that there can be free and full forgiveness, that our sins, which are many, can all be put away. How can that be? We look to Jesus. We see in him a fullness, all divine. And we're brought to that point where we're enabled to say, a matchless grace hath made the Saviour mine. That wonderful grace, it's all of grace. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings us to see there's no merit in ourselves. There's no merit in our companions. But it is the Lord. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis my Saviour. Hear his voice. Jesus speaks, and speaks to me, "Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me?" Oh, what a joyful sound the gospel is when the Lord is pleased to grant a full and free release. That we see Jesus upon the accursed tree, there paying the penalty of our sins. Remember that he is a holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God, that there was no sin in him. But he became the sin bearer for us. He bore our sins away. And by his precious blood, he washes us from all our sins. What joyful news to find that deliverance. And I think it will be ever with us. Why me? O gracious God, why me? Why was I made to hear his voice? And enter while says room, while thousands make a wretched choice, and rather starve than come. It will be a surprise that God should look upon such a dead dog as I am. Blessed, happy people. Happy people that know the reality of the Lord's sovereign work upon their never dying souls, who have been brought into gospel liberty, who are able to look to Jesus as the author and finisher of their faith, to know that it's all of him. Then to whom shall be the honour and the glory? Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory given. And we will acknowledge God's goodness and mercy every day of our lives. We will sing praises unto the Lord, sing praises. To be joyful in the Lord. Oh, be joyful in the Lord, says the psalmist, all ye lands. And when the gospel comes with divine power, and it comes to us. Yes, there may be others in the house of God who hear the same message spoken by the minister, and yet they see nothing in it. They're left cold. But perhaps there's one, or more, or a number, that are touched by the finger of God. And oh, how joyful it is to know that our heaven is secure. That our Jesus has gone before. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now, what is the privilege of a true believer? It's this: they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. God's glorious light. But you remember when Moses came down from the mount after being with God for 40 days, his face shone so brightly that he had to veil it, for the people could not look upon him. There was a reflection of the vast glory of God, and the people could not look upon it. Remember how the favored three disciples went up into the mount, and the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured before them. Oh, what light shone there. And yet the cloud overshadowed them, and they were afraid. But we see God in his glory, and yet in such a glory as we are able to receive. For the glory of God shines forth in the person of Jesus Christ. The apostles could say we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. The glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines forth in all its brilliance, and yet in a way that man is able to receive it. That light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There is a brilliance that shines forth out of the gospel, for it is replete with the many actings of the person of Jesus Christ. You remember on the occasions when the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to open the eyes of the blind. That man that had been born blind has spent all his life without ever seeing anything of that which surrounded him, without seeing any of his loved ones or his companions. And the Lord opened his eyes. We are blind by nature. We need our eyes to be opened, that we may behold his glory. The Lord only is able to open our blind eyes, that the glorious light of the gospel might flood in. I often think of the time when Paul and Silas were put in the prison, in the darkness there. But what light shone in their hearts. How they could sing praises unto God in the midst of their very afflictions. They sang so lustily that all the prisoners heard them. They had a light which others did not possess. There was a brilliance about them which was unique to them and to all the saints of God. Now our text says, they shall walk in the light of thy countenance. Walking means liberty. We have a glorious liberty in the things of God. And our prayer is, Lord, open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, once this book was a closed book to me. It seemed so beyond my understanding. I might as well have been in a dark room where all the light was excluded as to understand a page of scripture. We must remember that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither indeed can he. Is it any wonder that we live in a day of such confusion? You think of the multiplicity of translations there have been. I won't call them Bibles because I don't believe they are. I believe they are dishonouring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But man sees things in his own light, and his own light is nothing but darkness. But when the Lord reveals himself and gives us understanding of his holy word, gives us a good spirit of discernment that we are enabled to discern the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ shining forth from every page. Then, through grace, we're enabled to walk by the light of God's glorious word. You know, if we walk in darkness, we're apt to stumble and fall. David knew much of the word of God giving light, and how he was able, in his poetic way, to express himself as to the wonderful things that God had revealed to him in his life. Now, sometimes we have to come into deep places, difficult situations, complications in our lives, and we feel that these things only bring us into greater darkness. It seems that everything's a mystery. We cannot seem to unravel it, whatever we try to do. But if God should be pleased to shine his light upon the page and give us glorious understanding of his word, oh, how the crooked things are made straight, and the rough places are made plain, and the glory of the Lord is revealed. We see the glory of Jesus Christ in the scriptures. We walk by the light of his countenance. He shines with glorious light into the souls of his covenant people. And again, you will notice that this is his sovereign work. He worketh according to the purpose of his own will. Happy people, then. What happiness there is in the hearts of those that have come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth, who are able to say that this God is my God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. You may feel that it is a mystery that one should be in light and another in darkness. But look at the type that is given us in one of the plagues of Egypt, where there was darkness among the Egyptians, and it's expressively put, a darkness that could be felt. For several days, that darkness. Oh, how miserable must their condition have been to be in utter darkness. And is not that a type of the darkness that man shall be thrust into when he's thrust out of the presence of God forever and ever? But we read of the children of Israel that they had light in their dwellings. They had light in their dwellings. So can you picture the scene? That here are the Egyptians all in darkness. A darkness so profound that it could be felt. And yet the Israelites had light in their dwellings. I believe this sets before us those that know the Lord and those that know him not. A person who knows not the Lord Jesus is in great darkness. And if he remains in that condition to the end of his life, he will be in that darkness forever. But when the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shines forth into the hearts of his people, that they come without any hesitation to say, I love the Lord, I love my master. I will serve and follow him. Then they are enabled to walk as those that know the truth, those that walk according to the light that the gospel gives unto them. So we have two things really in our text. We have the knowledge of the glorious sound of the gospel, and we have the light that that gospel brings. Now, it's the light of Christ's glorious countenance. Instead of a frowning God, a God whom we fear, a God of whom we are afraid, we see in the person of the Lord Jesus a milder face, his smilings toward his people. You can tell even with young children, sometimes even with quite small babies, their countenance sets forth where they are, whether they're happy or miserable. And you can see in their features, sometimes that change take place from one to the other. A person that knows the Lord, his countenance, his smilings upon them, doesn't it bring forth a smile from them? Happiness is in the sweet assurance that my Jesus is mine and I am his, and my name is written in heaven. Because whatever we may have to pass through in this world below, to have that confidence that he who hath begun a good work in us will perform it, will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. We know then that our heaven is assured. We have an expectation. We have a glorious hope. We have something to look forward to. But the day will come when we shall be forever with the Lord, and we shall be in that lovely countenance forever and ever. People have tried to draw pictures of the Lord Jesus. How miserably have they failed? How can they know? How can they understand what the Lord Jesus looks like? And yet, a babe in Christ knows something of his smiling face, something of that beautiful countenance as he looks upon them. Having loved them with an everlasting love, they in return love him. Do we love the Lord Jesus? Is he ours? Are we his? Do we have that good hope through faith that we shall not be cast off at last, but be received into his kingdom and glory forever and ever? Here our happiness will be complete. Amen.